9. The emissaries were dragging Slime off when Kwong, Sir Robert's Buddhist communicator, ran up to Johnny.
"Sir Robert asks me to tell you," whispered the boy, "that there will be a sudden exodus in a moment, and not to be alarmed. They have been working it out in ops for the past half hour, and the orders are being issued this instant. There are hundreds of people trapped in shelters in Edinburgh. The tunnel corridors and entrances fell in under heavy bombs. They do not know how many are alive or anything else. He says it is like a caved-in mine. They are leaving in minutes, and he wants you to carry on here. If needed, he will come back."
Johnny felt like a cold hand had gripped his heart. Chrissy and Patty were part of that, if they still lived. "I should go," said Johnny.
"No, no," said the boy Kwong. "Sir Robert said you would say that, Lord Johnny. They will do everything that can be done. He said to tell you he is leaving all this in your hands."
At that moment, pandemonium broke loose. Sir Robert raced out of the ops room. He had somewhere changed his clothes, and the gray cloak billowed as he donned it on the run.
"Goodbye, Lord Johnny," said Kwong,
and raced away. Sir Robert was at the passage, waving his arm with an urgent swing. "Come on," he bellowed. "Come on!" Doctors McKendrick and Allen sped out of the hospital area, shutting valises as they ran. Allen turned and shouted something at the nurse, and then sped on. The walking wounded hobbled and limped out, heading for the passage. Four pilots raced by. Guards, who a moment before had been covering Slime from pits, were yelling to one another, and a soldier carrying several packs raced toward them, and then they were gone. A crowd of officers and communicators slammed out of ops and headed for the passage exit. Suddenly, Johnny was aware of the turmoil and commotion among the Chinese. Mothers were dumping babies, and a screech of instructions at older daughters, and then running to the exit. The Chinese men were snatching up bits and pieces from their personal baggage, shooing smaller children into the vicinity of the half-grown girls, yelling at each other to hurry. Dogs, snapped onto leashes that were pushed into the hands of young boys, set up a cacophony of barking and howling at being made to stay. A plane motor started up, then another. Three Scott pilots ran out of the ops room, getting into flight clothes and gripping maps. And all the time, Sir Robert was at the exit shouting, "Come on, come on!" From the open door of ops, Stormalong's voice was rising above the din. "Victoria? Victoria! Damn it, man, keep your radios manned. Take every mine pump you've got, every atmosphere hose and pump. Got that? I know it's in clear. All right." A woman communicator in there was taking over. She started to chatter Polly. "Come on," Sir Robert was shouting at the delaying few. "Damn it, Edinburgh is burning." A plane took off. Sir Robert was gone. Another plane. Another, another, another. From the whip of sound, they were lancing up to hypersonic in seconds. Johnny wondered whether they were leaving any aircraft at all. Lord Dom came over to Johnny. His big, liquidy face looked a bit concerned.
"What's happening? Are you abandoning this area? You realize that in a temporary suspension of hostilities, it is irregular to use it to arrange the redisposition of military forces to achieve the advantage of surprise when hostilities are resumed. I would caution..."
Johnny had had just about enough of being chinko polite for one day. He was worried about Chrissy and Patty, and very concerned about his village people who had gone to Russia. "They are on their way to try to dig hundreds of people out of collapsed shelters," said Johnny. "I don't think your rules apply to non-combatants, Lord Dom. And even if they did, not even you could stop those Scots. They're on their way to save what they can of the Scottish nation." Johnny walked into ops. The place was in a shambles left by the hasty departure. Only the Buddhist woman communicator and Stormalong were there. She had finished her messages and was sitting back, head bowed, exhausted. They had been on straight duty for days without rest. This was the first lull. "Russia?" said Johnny to Stormalong. "I sent the whole contingent at Singapore there over half an hour ago. They took everything they had. It's just a flight over the Himalayas, and they'll be there in another couple of hours. I don't know what they'll find. We haven't heard from Russia for a couple of days.
Edinburgh, said Johnny.
Nothing for the last hour. Did I hear you sending everyone at Victoria to Scotland? Said Johnny. What about the prisoners there? Oh, they gave Kerr a blast rifle. He saw Johnny's look. Kerr says he'll blow their heads off if they so much as move an eye bone. They left that old woman from the Mountains of the Moon to handle their diets. And all your vital notes are safe. He was about to add, here, when he saw Lord Dom at the door and looked at him. Lord Dom said,
I didn't wish to intrude, but I couldn't help overhearing. Haven't you left this whole conference area, maybe this whole continent, maybe the planet, without air cover?
Johnny shrugged and pointed to Stormalong. There's he and I. This startled Lord Dom. He quivered a bit. Stormalong laughed and said, Why, that's twice as many as there used to be. Not long ago, there was just him. He pointed at Johnny. Lord Dom blinked. He stared at Johnny. The young man didn't seem worried at all. Lord Dom went off and told his colleagues about this. They discussed it considerably among themselves. They decided they had better keep a careful eye on Johnny.